This is the Sunday Spin on 720 WGN. Once again, here's Rick Pearson of the Chicago Tribune.
Good Sunday morning. Welcome back to your Sunday Spin. I'm Rick Pearson, the Chicago Tribune, here in the Allstate Skyline studio and joined by my good friend, colleague, John Byrne from the Tribune, a political reporter, part of the political team covering City Hall, definitely covering the mayor's race, which...
Is there a mayor's race? What?
Yeah, what? That's all you've been doing.
Oh, my gosh.
I mean, I'm surprised. Thank you for coming in, actually, because I'm kind of surprised to catch you on a free moment.
Drinking out of the fire hydrant is how you're referring to it.
Well, I mean... I'm surprised there isn't actually a mayoral forum going on right now.
I think there is. We're missing three forums
Yes, exactly. In three different locations.
Exactly. Three different interest groups with their forums right now.
I mean, there's been no shortage of that.
No,
the thing is,
sure.
at a certain point, the news value diminishes very quickly.
You are telling me.
Well, because everybody reverts their talking points and their attack points kind of thing.
Right.
And, you know, there's been some polling out there. And I think the easiest way, as I try to explain it, is, and I've talked to some very well-respected pollsters. I've gotten to know many during the years nationally. And they tell me you can't poll this thing.
Really?
There's too many candidates, 14 candidates, that from... You know, the indicative polling that we've seen, when you're talking about a lead is 14 to 16%.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
Which means in a sample size that you call, a shift of 10 people can turn somebody into, quote, a front runner.
Yeah.
I mean, you can't call anybody a front runner in this. Right. I don't think you can poll it.
20% undecideds or whatever.
Anyway, I mean, truly, I've said if there's a front runner, it's undecided.
Right.
You know.
Right.
And it comes down to, and John's co-authored a story in today's Tribune with Greg Pratt about, you know, where we stand in the race right now. And, you know, it's always that that kind of cliche, you know, it all depends on turnout.
Right.
But this really does depend.
Ground game.
But this is really what's going to determine it.
Yeah. Yeah, and you've got the different candidates you know, playing up their strengths, and in one of Toni Preckwinkle's strengths clearly is that she's got some union support from the likes of SEIU, which is backing her very strongly, and they can put people on the street. SEIU can and will put people on the street, and they'll go door to door, and they'll get people to the polls, and that could be a big deal.
Yeah, I mean. CTU is a bit, but that's a bit more kind of. I think there's more divisions among the rank and file there.
That's the impression that I've gotten. You don't have Karen Lewis, who was sort of the galvanizing hold the different factions of CTU together. She's not there anymore, and so yeah, I think there might be more going their own way within the ranks of CTU.
And, you know, obviously as part of a ground game, there's money involved, too. I mean, money, organization, it all goes together.
Right.
And, you know, we've seen Bill Daley, you know, just leading the money ranks at...
7.2. He's up over 7.2 now, and we're hearing talk of more big checks possibly coming his way very shortly, and you total up the second and third best-funded... candidates, and they don't even equal 7.2, so
right. He's
pulled ahead there.
Well, and then he's got the $1 million from Ken Griffin.
Right.
Griffin, of course, the person who going down in history as the largest donor to a candidate nationally was when he gave $20 million to Bruce Rauner, part of the $36 million that Griffin gave to Rauner over his campaigns, the head of Citadel, founder of the hedge fund. And of course, you know, with that comes the natural attacks that
he'll be Griffin's mayor. You're hearing that from several of the other mayoral candidates now.
And that he's a Rauner.
Right, that he's a Rauner guy. Mendoza, Susana Mendoza, state comptroller, who, of course, loves to mix it up with the Rauner boogeyman, was quick to
well,
jump
yeah,
on
Well, yeah, resurrected.
That.
It's kind of like, you know, when we saw her commercials, and it was largely about, you know, her being, you know, attacking Rauner as in her position as state comptroller. And I'm going, well, what kind of resonance does that bring to a race for mayor?
Right.
But then Griffin kind of opens that door with the $1 million check.
Yeah. Yeah, she Bill was happy to get the $1 million, and Susanna was probably the second happiest candidate, because it puts Rauner right back in this race.
And you know, and obviously, you know, Daley has to answer for that, that issue. And of course, I mean, the one thing about that Griffin check is we've been waiting as reporters, kind of, where is the business community in this race?
Yeah. And you're seeing some of them fall into line behind Daley, and he, you know, as he's shown to be a strong candidate, some of these polls are putting him in first or second place, and so some of these the business interests that have been sitting on the sidelines are starting to come into play here a little bit in the final days.
And you know, obviously, people not getting in early, wanting to hedge their bets to see if anybody could emerge here.
Right.
But as you get closer to election time, people starting to weigh in a little bit. I mean, I had Bill Daley on the show a couple weeks ago, and it still kind of strikes me as, you know, given the tenure of his father, given the tenure of his brother, you know, the issue of Daley fatigue.
Right. It's been amazing to see. When he got into the race, lots of people said, Chicago's not going to elect another Daley. Come on. And yet here we are, and his money has a lot to do with that. He's had a bunch of ads, and you can see him getting a little bit, you know, he goes to these forum after forum. He sits out some of them and has been accused of running a Rose Garden type campaign by some of the other candidates who want the opportunity to poke him in the eye about his Daley-ness. But he goes to these forums and you see him, he's just getting fed up. He's getting fed up with answering these questions. You know, you've got the likes of John Koslar sitting there just teeing off on him. You know, this guy from Bridgeport, Koslar, just teeing off on him. And Daley's just like, you can see like smoke coming out of his ears. He's like, well, and he did get off a good line at maybe it was the Sun-Times forum, where he said, look, are you calling the people of Chicago idiots? They voted for my brother 6 times. So you want to say that they were idiotic to do that? Well, that's on you, you know? And so he's saying, you know, trust in the voters to know what's right.
Well, there's no doubt, I think, that the fact of the TV advertising has been significant.
Yeah.
It is a significant factor for him. And I mentioned when I was off while my shoulder was recovering, I got to see more than my fair share of television. And he was everywhere.
Yeah.
I mean, and in your story today, we've got him at like $1.9 million on broadcast television. So over $2 million, I think, if you include cable.
Yeah, thank you for your help on that.
Thank you so much. Yeah, well, my shoulder is paying for it.
I'm so sorry. Yeah,
but that's okay. But you know, that's a lot of TV.
Yeah,
and yes, Chicago market's expensive, which, you know, that's kind of the TV factor does kind of sort out the candidates and their fundraising ability. Cable, of course, is less expensive, and everybody's can get a bite of the cable buys. But, you know, $2 million is that's a big chunk of change.
It is.
And, you know, part of me too, as I see, you know, we start seeing some of the business community going to Daley, and as much as there's that Daley fatigue thing, I see two factors here, and one is kind of a stability factor. With a Daley, you kind of know what you're going to get.
Yep.
Versus, you know, I mean, it's like we talk about the Democratic Party and the establishment wing and the progressive wing and that kind of thing.
Yeah.
And we can see that, those kind of divisions in this field exist.
You sure can. Daley, he wants to make the runoff and then say to the people of Chicago, pick. Who do you trust? Who do you trust? Who do you feel safe with here? No matter who he's up against, he's going to make that case. I'm the guy who's not going to run the airplane into the cliff.
Well, it's like you see with, you know, many other candidates. Like we saw in the Democratic primary for governor. Every one of them claiming to be a progressive.
Right.
I don't know that I've heard Bill Daley say the term progressive.
Right. And he's talked about the fact that, you know, well, progressive just become, it's just this term. And you hear Daley, he's talking, he's not claiming to be progressive, but you've heard him talk about why people are saying progressive. And it's just become a term, as Democrats are afraid to use the term liberal now. Progressive's just become a thing that people kind of throw out. And you're right, he has not tried to claim that mantle.
I haven't heard him call himself a liberal either.
No. None of the above.
We're speaking with John Byrne, my Tribune colleague from the City Hall political team. I'm Rick Pearson. This is the Sunday Spin. Welcome back to your Sunday Spin. I'm Rick Pearson, the Chicago Tribune, joined by my Tribune colleague, John Byrne, who is part of the City Hall political team as we kind of go through the mayoral race. I mean, as I said, people, I know they ask you, they ask me, they ask all of us, so who's it going to be?
Right.
And one thing I always joke is that since I also do work with WGN, you know, Tom Skilling gets a lot of money to make predictions. I don't get Tom Skilling money, so yeah. I don't make predictions. But I mean, this is what's so hard about this is because with the percentage margins here, you know, like 14, 16 could be in the runoff.
Right.
That it's just you can't really call anybody a front runner.
No way. I when people ask me, and they ask me 20 times a day, I was at a family party last night, right? So
sure.
There are like 10 combinations here,
right,
that I would absolutely not be shocked by. I would not be at all shocked by about 10 different combos.
No, it's like I want to buy an Exacta box here, you know,
yeah.
Because at the track.
Right.
There are any number of potential combinations.
I'll take the field. Just give me the field.
Yeah, right. Well, and I mean, I've been intrigued, and you've been part of this coverage too, about Amira Enya.
Mm.
And, you know, kind of came out of the blocks as like this progressive pop phenom.
Yeah.
And, you know,
Chance the Rapper
and Kanye.
Yeah.
And then you're covering an event where, you know, they were sending buses for early voting to campuses and having a big rally, and Chance was supposed to be there.
Right.
And what happened?
Well, Chance was there in the sense that there was a large portable speaker blasting Chance's music out of it at Daley Plaza, but otherwise he was not there. Amara said that they had done an event with supporters the night before that ran late, and she knew that he wouldn't come. And then the buses pulled into Daley Plaza, and there were probably about 40 people. It was a small enough rally that I didn't have to estimate the number.
You could count.
I counted them one by one because you don't want to be underrepresenting people here at these things, and I rounded up to 40. And you know, she says, "Well, look, this is early. We're going to be going to campuses." She says that in the next few days, she's going to start having events on campuses with Chance, and that they hope to up the energy level at those. But it did raise some questions about, you know, this was seen as sort of her trump card. She's got Chance the Rapper. She can get these college age students who maybe weren't going to vote for anybody, and if she can get those people to the polls in a race where 12%, you're sniffing the runoff.
Right.
Then, hey, she's got something here, you know? But you've got to have people on those campuses, and maybe she does. You've got to have that infrastructure.
Well, right. And then here again, that's the ground game.
Right.
And this is not somebody that has shown evidence of a ground game.
Right. And she ran for mayor last time, but you don't see a lot of that, not a lot of aldermen getting behind her, a lot of the of union support of the type where you could have troops. You just, I don't know where that's coming from for her.
We've got a call from Ron. Ron, welcome as always to the Sunday Spin.
Hey, good morning, and Ms. Turner, really enjoy your work.
Good morning,
thanks.
It was
very strange and ironic, Rick, Bill Daley was on your show, and he really portrayed himself as being somewhat of an outsider. He called the other candidates bureaucrats. Very strange coming from a Daley. But to ask you guys, you mentioned Mark Andy, but if it's another person that, for the various reasons y'all mentioned, maybe Daley and Preckwick or the front runners, could it be someone else in this next few days? out and at least make it interesting, maybe, which is to say probably giving them a run. I think Preckwinkle is still going to have some trouble relative to the Burke incident. But maybe just now. I don't know if there's who it would be, but just want to ask you guys. Thanks very much.
Thank you.
Thanks, Ron. I don't know. Is there a wild card candidate?
I'm telling you, there are four wild card candidates, and I don't even know if you can call anyone a wild card candidate, because, right, like you said, that's assuming that there are actual front runners,
right?
And lots of polls say, oh, maybe it's Preckwinkle, maybe it's Daley in front, but there are like five other candidates within the margin of error, and like you said, you talk to 10 people, and you're throwing it all off with 14 candidates. So I think that there are lots of people who could make the runoff. I talked to Gary McCarthy the other day, and he said, look, you're talking about 20% undecided. Those 20%, they're not breaking for Preckwinkle. They're not going to break for Daley, is his argument. His argument, right, is if you're out there and you're undecided, you're thinking about the rest of the field. If you are going to back Preckwinkle, he says, McCarthy says, you've made that decision. You're not undecided. So his theory is that Preckwinkle's at her ceiling. Daley's at his ceiling because they're known entities, and that the rest of them can try to grab as much of this 20%, and any of them could vault ahead of a Preckwinkle or a Daley.
Well, and we should note too, and we were talking about TV ad spending, that McCarthy is somewhat unique in that he has not bought any broadcast TV time. All of his commercials have all been on cable. And of course, you know, when you're playing with a limited amount of funds, that's probably the smart play to make.
Yeah.
But, you know, there is that visibility you get from the broadcast TV, too.
For sure.
You look at Vallis here. You look at... Huh. I did note, and I want to make a mention of this, is, you know, obviously the Tribune endorsed Daley, the editorial board, and that's separate from the work that we do
separate.
As reporters.
There separate.
It is absolutely separate. Sun-Times endorsed Lightfoot. And I thought it was interesting, actually, their endorsement, because being obviously owned by unions, that they would go with a union-supported candidate like Preckwinkle or, you know, in some cases, Mendoza, that kind of thing. So I thought it was kind of an interesting, like, outside-the-box endorsement. But I was very dismayed that Channel 5 and Telemundo did a poll, again, with showing, you know, this 14%
cluster. Cluster of candidates.
And they post on the internet a story, the Sun Times does, that Lori Lightfoot's in the top five. And that's the lead of the story. And by percentage basis, she's fourth out of five.
Right.
But she's their endorsed candidate.
Yeah.
And that's the story that gets posted.
Yeah, it was a bit arbitrary, it seemed.
Well, and I posted on the internet. And look, we have good friends that work at the Sun Times, and this is
nothing. Some of us have family members.
Yes, indeed. Full disclosure, yes. But that was just amazing to me because of, I said on Twitter, I said, that's not journalism, that's boosterism.
Right, I saw that. It was a head scratcher for sure that was the angle they took on that.
And we can do better than that. We can do better than that. John Byrne, my colleague at the Chicago Tribune, doing a great job.
Thanks,
and
Rick.
You know, we'd like to say that, you know, the clock's getting closer to election, except we know there's going to be a runoff. So,
yeah,
you know, that's
and we have to see how long it takes before we know who's in the runoff.
Well, exactly. And I think that's,
we could go to court. We could see somebody go to court and say, hey, I want a recount because I think the margin's so slim here,
yeah,
you know.
See, you had to go ahead and say that. John, thank you so much for joining
me
this morning.